Hey family, thank you for following and trusting the path that led you here. This is Flow Space, Conscious Conversations with J&D. I'm Jerrica.
And I'm Deandra. Our discussions will be led by intuition and spirit as we continue to evolve and learn about what it means to live an earthly human experience.
Because those distractions and the fast, busy life, that's what contributes to a lot of the giving in to the corruption, because we're so distracted that we don't even see the corruption.
Right.
And we feel so busy that we're just moving through trying to get things done.
Yeah, drinking the tap water that has the pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. getting the fast food on the way to work. Mm-hmm. Taking the anxiety medication because we don't have a moment to ourselves to recenter. All mm-hmm. those things.
Or wanting to lose weight and taking Ozempic because it's the quick fix that's being pushed. Like, all of those different things.
Yeah, take it there.
Yeah. So it does connect. Mm-hmm. Like, what we see as craziness in this world connects to trying to bring in a slow life, because you have to realize these things before you can even start making changes.
Yeah, and this is all in the premise of how do you sustain living a slow life amidst a busy world?
Mm-hmm. And how did that come up for you today? Why did the thought come to you?
So, I work at a place where the standard norm is to move in haste, move with a sense of urgency, move quickly to get things done. And when that is not being done in that manner, in that fashion, it's viewed as not being efficient, not doing the best job that I can to the best of my ability. And I recognize that for the first time as clearly as I did yesterday while at work. And I made peace with it because I was able to see more clearly the competition that goes on of everyone wanting to be seen, validated for their efforts, and the environment that brews. Everyone wanting to one-up the other or do more work so that they get recognized. And it's a small micro example of what goes on a larger scale in most of society in terms of like the workforce. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in many other different aspects of our life. So because of that, and it was busy, so for me to move in any pace that didn't match that would look very out of character. Like, I would be an oddball.
You would stand out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I already do. I stand out as the one who's like very calm. And so it's that way of my being is appreciated, but it's recognized that like, okay, put me over here because I'm not going to be the one to be over here on the left, for example, like in a certain room that requires more urgency. So it's already known that, okay, don't put Deandra there because you're not going to get the results that you're expecting. And I made peace with that. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to have to do more than what feels healthy to do, more than what feels necessary in life to be like. But nonetheless, there is still a sense of haste that I have to embody just because of the pace of what's going on. So going from that to then going home and then going to sleep and then waking up and then going about the things that are important to me in my personal life, mm-hmm. requires me to recenter and become aware of how that energy was impacting me while at work so that I don't carry it into my life outside of work. So that's what came to mind when thinking about what needs to be shared, because I recognized how it showed up where I was really in my masculine this morning in terms of, okay, I have to do XYZ things. I'm just like checking things off a list in my mind. So I know once the list surfaces in my mind, I have to reevaluate.
I just heard, not the list.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Literally. But I'm grateful for that because I was able, because I had a dream last night where someone told me the masculine within me is growing, and I thought of it while I was meditating this morning, and I connected it to how I was operating. So I was like, okay, I need to bring in more of a feminine presence. I need to connect to that aspect of myself. I need to flow within whatever it is that I have to do. And that looked like being in the present moment, releasing the analytical, logical minds, and returning to my heart center and going about my day in that way. And it brought back time. Like, it added more time to my day, because when I was thinking actively about the things I have to get done, I'm already like 5 hours ahead, because okay, gotta do this, and then that's gonna take me this long, and then I gotta do this, blah blah blah. It's like, no. And then it also brought back presence as to what's important for me to do versus what's on this list that I feel is just so that it's comforting others at the expense of my own well-being. So that was a whole process in my mind. Not as long as I'm saying it now, because I'm speaking in more detail, but I was able to return quicker because of this awareness that I allowed myself the space to return to through my breath and meditation. The meditation really helped me, because I was even considering not meditating, and I was like, that is no longer an option in my life. I can't go about life like that. So it helped me return and connect to this concept of how we can embody a slow life amidst a busy world.
Yeah, because everything you shared brought up a couple of different things in my mind. I'm just gonna list them so that I don't forget them. But the first, when you were initially talking about where you work and the knowing not to put you in a certain room because of your way of being, what I thought of are the different labels or judgments or perspectives people have on us, and then how we can either take them on and feed those narratives that are untrue to our actual reality, versus staying in our truth and not being bothered by knowing that people have these things to say or think about you.
Yeah, not being victim to it.
That came up. And then also,
that's so good.
How can you exist in these two different realities? Because what you're describing your work life to be, even though it's separate and it solely is your work life, compared to the reality that I see you living when you're not there, how that can cause confusion in the body, because you're in two different worlds, essentially. So you need to regulate your nervous system when you're there and then when you leave there, and sort of readjust yourself every time you transition into these different worlds, and not lose sight of your truth. Because like you said, you went to sleep, you woke up, you had a to-do list. You could have not meditated. It's really easy to get lost in the flow of that chaos and hecticness and hustle and bustle. So ways to bring yourself back to center and even realize that it's happening.
Right. Yeah, essentially that was it. Because up until yesterday night, I was going home and de-stressing, watching a show on Netflix. Yesterday, I said to myself, we're letting that go. We can't do that anymore. I can't go from that environment to then watching something on, like, I can't decompress that way.
That's more of a numbing agent.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to do the things that I've always done in the past when I would get home from work. This is something I used to always do. I would light a candle and then just reflect on my day, meditate, and then I would fall asleep meditating. And it was so good. It felt so good in my spirit and my body to do so. And it was perfectly timed for me to remember that last night. But it wasn't enough, because I woke up the next day still thinking about the list. But it was a good stepping stone to get to where I ultimately ended up earlier
it was
today.
Progress.
Yeah.
You didn't just succumb to the numbing
right
that you have been doing.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, there'll be a day. Maybe there'll be a day where I don't do anything and I'll just binge the show if I really want to. But that doesn't need to be my everyday. So it was really cool, like all these things. coming to my mind, because recently I even stopped eating at my job, like the food there, and I started bringing in my own food. So that was a stepping stone in terms of the progress and how I can remain in my power and in my truth and not succumb to the chaos. Mm-hmm. Very similar to what we said earlier in the episode today about drinking the water, eating the food, all these things that are designed to be convenient for us to sustain this chaotic society that we ultimately don't really want to be a part of, that aren't supportive to our well-being. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to reflect now as to all the different things that I've done to embody my truth no matter the setting. And it's been a journey, like it's progress step by step, but it's so rewarding because it grows my awareness, my confidence, my trust, and the safety within my being, that there is so much benefit to doing the things that I'm doing and continuing to do.
Yeah, like staying course to the true way that you desire to be.
I love what you said about the not being bothered about the perceptions of others, because it's so good. Oh my God. It's so freeing. It's like, yeah, that's you. That's how you want to see it. Good. Like, if that's serving you, it's not my responsibility to paint the picture of me in your eyes. Mm-hmm. It's important for me to sustain my own way of being, regardless of whatever projection. And it just feels so, so good. I really just want to highlight that for anyone who is navigating that and feels like they're shackled down to succumbing to like people pleasing, mm-hmm. or trying to control the narrative that others have of us. No, all of that is just feeding those narratives, because we're giving power to them, because we're focusing on it, we're giving our energy to it instead of giving our energy to the source that fuels us, our center, our heart.
Mm-hmm. And our sometimes truth. We don't even do it consciously.
Yeah.
Like, it's not our intention to control the narrative. It's that we hear something somebody might think or say about us, and then it impacts us and makes us feel that conflict within, because we know it's so far from our actual truth and we want to show people what the actual truth is. So it's not even something that sometimes you sit there thinking like, oh, how can I change this? But you do subtly change your actions based on these things that people say. And what comes to mind is like that concept of the airheadedness or careless sometimes, when people live very true to themselves and not attached to the matrix world. Those are labels that I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that you're not an airhead or you're not careless can make you feel riled up, you know, to want to say like, no, that's actually not true. And then you start doing things that aren't true to yourself in efforts to prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. Or not even prove them wrong, just show them who you think you really are.
Yeah, like to defend your point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessary. No. Like, that's not the fight that we need to fight.
No, but it takes a lot to get there. Because I feel in my life I dealt with that as well. Trying to people please, or trying to let people see who I actually am, because their perception was completely opposite of who I believed myself to be. And it impacts us. You know, I can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, don't care about what people say about you. To some degree, it definitely weighs on us, especially when it's people close to us or that we're constantly around. But what you said, that it's so freeing when you get to the point of being confident enough in yourself that you don't feel the need to control narratives, it's really freeing.
It's so freeing. Yeah, it's really important to mention that this is something that is being navigated in our own lives. Maybe not currently to what it once was, but that is present for most people, because mm-hmm. we are people who desire community. It's like a human need mm-hmm. to have a sense of belonging. What really helped me in terms of in the work setting is recognizing that these aren't people that I want to build intimate relationships with. This is just a place where I go for this exchange of energy, mm-hmm. for money, and that's it. It's not a place where I am intentionally building connections that are soulful.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the key things that I had to realize in order to arrive to where I am now. Because it was after that realization, I was able to call back my energy and my power to myself and stop feeding it through being an open vessel, an open energy source, for growing the ways of being that already exist there and being a part of it. So I had to remove myself. But it is a practice, even still, not that, but the sense of it being okay, being the one who's not part of the conversation, or like when people are gathering to like bond over things that are relevant to them that aren't relevant to me, it's okay to just be with myself and not partake in those things that aren't true to me.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a conversation we've had recently. It feels like another reflection version of it, where you shared you were around people and sort of like impacted and influenced by their way of being, that you were thinking of like changing your way of being. And this seems like the reflection where you're actually realizing with the awareness that it's not in alignment and it's okay not to be a part of that community because it's not the community you do actually create for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's such a powerful thing to realize and speak on, because it's showing how when we do bring the awareness that we have forward, it allows us to make the changes that we do talk about, or maybe we don't talk about them, but we know we want.
Yeah, and it makes me so happy, honestly, mm-hmm. because the more we talk about it, the more I think about moments that happened yesterday mm-hmm. where I was so content just not being a part of certain conversations where once ago I would have participated in it just for the sake of being part of the group yeah. or part of the environment I'm in. And it's not necessary. Like, I'm there for a specific purpose, and the attributes that are necessary to do my job well, I'm doing to the best of my ability. That's in alignment with my truth, and that's it. It doesn't need to go beyond that. And it's just such a powerful feeling, especially when I have community and I have reflections in my outer world outside of my job that show the value in living my truth, like being in relationship with you, our tribe, my own life and my own home and my own well-being, having the food that supports my nourishment, that's aligned, having access to water. So many small things mm-hmm. that create life on a larger yeah. scale.
And it brings to mind what I was sharing with you before we started recording in terms of the baby registry that I created. So it would have been so much easier if I just created a baby registry with the suggestions that the app gives you. But it took a lot of effort. It took me so many weeks of like doing research and constantly, like I would get overwhelmed, so I would put it away. And then I would slowly return to it because I was trying to find healthy, non-toxic, chemical-free products. And it makes me think of the effort that it requires for us to sustain the life that we actually desire and not give in to the, I don't know if it's the easier route or the things that are more available to us, because there's so many options around us that aren't in alignment or the healthiest option for us to make if we desire to live whatever life we're trying to live consciously. Mm-hmm. So I want to point out what you just said, like the effort that it requires to take a step back and say, wow, you know what, look at my house, my home, like my sanctuary. I do have clean water that is free of the all kinds of things that are in our water or tap water. Or look at my tribe, they're great divine reflections of what I'm cultivating within myself. Mm-hmm. And even if my job isn't representing that, I'm still able to be myself and connect to my truth and my power while in this setting. And I think that's even more powerful, because we always say it's easy to be our truest selves when we're in comfort. Mm-hmm. So to be able to be your truest self when the environment isn't what you desire is like a superpower.
Yeah, and it just anchors in greater living in our truest selves, even when we're not in that setting that we mm-hmm. ideally don't want to be, which potentially can eradicate that setting altogether. You know, yeah. It's to say that everything is serving us so greatly should we choose to, but it does require consistent effort. I'm glad you highlighted that again, because that is definitely the thing that I've returned to at my job and in life as the teaching surface. It mm-hmm. requires effort to consistently practice them.
Yeah, like you're actively making a conscious choice mm-hmm. in every moment, even though the easier thing is just to be like flowing through your day, you're actually thinking about what you're going to engage in or what you're not going to engage in and what you shared.
Yeah, and that's the path of living consciously, mm-hmm. bringing conscious awareness to every moment, every thought, every action. And that is a practice, and that's why it is easier to succumb to the patterns that we've lived our whole lives, of living in the ways that we see those before us have lived that aren't necessarily in alignment with where we want to go. And it just speaks to we're paving the way forward and being the conscious creator of our reality, truly being the main character of our world.
Yeah, it's so funny because I hear you saying that, it can make me tired, like, oh my god, how much do I have to think about? But I do want to say that I feel the more you practice it, the less, not effort it requires, but the less analytical thinking it requires. Yeah. It shifts, mm-hmm. because beginning the practice, I feel it is very analytical because you're hyper focusing or hyper aware of your actions and your thoughts. And then slowly as you begin integrating and embodying that, it eases up where it's your actual true nature to be conscious, a conscious being.
Yeah, that's really important to say too, because the first initial shift into shifting in this way of being regarding my job, being at my job, took a lot of conscious effort, mm-hmm. and being in my mind and analyzing the situation. It got easier every single day, every single moment. And it's usually just getting over that one hump, mm-hmm. that you can then feel enough confidence to continue. And because you have more experiences to refer to, the more you continue, the easier it becomes. But when we don't have anything to reference from our past experiences, when embarking on evolving, mm-hmm. or changing our way of being, it's just that initial step that can create like that sense of like, oh my god, how much do I have to think about?
Yeah, you know? It's stepping out of the comfort zone, I feel. Yeah. That's how we could sum it up, because whenever, whatever it is, whatever scenario, whatever change you want to make, whatever it is, it takes a lot to get over that initial hump, because the fears come up, the insecurities come up, the little, you know, like the good angel, the bad angel, they start talking, and mm-hmm. you can become conflicted within. But if you stay centered on, focused on the goal that you have in mind for yourself, for whatever your reasoning for shifting is, it helps ease the way. Because I think of a conversation we were having recently with someone, and we were sharing a perspective in terms of community and friendships and aligned friendships. And immediately for that person, it was sort of a hesitancy and a resistance to being open to the idea. But the more conversation occurred about this topic, the person became more open-minded to it and curious. The level of curiosity has to be there within ourselves for the shifts that we actually want to see. But getting to that space of curiosity, I feel we have to overcome certain hurdles within the self that the mind creates,
that are like blockages in terms of then arriving to the curiosity.
Yeah, because it's essentially we want to stay comfortable, so we want to stay with the things that we actually do know, we do know and feel safe with. And that way of thinking can hold us back. So for example, you at work, let's say you're comfortable just engaging with the people you're around because of that sense of community that you crave. You could continue doing that and engaging in these conversations that, from what you shared, you don't want to engage in. But instead, you face that, I don't want to call it a fear, but you face that thing in your mind where it was like, okay, I'm not going to be a part of this.
No, it's essentially a fear. Anything that's not in truth, I feel like, is a fear to some extent.
Yeah, I didn't want to label it. Like, yeah. I'm not going to label your fears. But I agree. That's how I see fears. So you had to face that in mm-hmm. order to be confident within yourself, to distance yourself from those conversations and not engage in the community that...
That it's is not around my community.
You. Exactly. Yeah. Essentially. So
that could be scary. but yeah. It requires a level of awareness that it's not feeding us and on a soul level, because mm-hmm. that's what helped me arrive to where I am right now, is recognizing how it was impacting me energetically, how it was truly making me feel, from a level of honesty and authenticity with myself, not through the illusion mm-hmm. of what I can depict me engaging these conversations are doing for me that aren't really true to me.
Yeah, and that's the aspect of stepping out of the comfort zone.
Yeah,
because we don't know what awaits us unless we actually take the step and the action to do it.
Yeah, we have to have trust and faith in leaping into that unknown, mm-hmm. especially if the nudge is there. Like, that has to be enough in order for us to overcome it, and then that's where the reward, we won't know the reward beforehand.
No,
that's not how it works.
No, if we did, how easy would it be? That would yeah. be our motivation. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's what I'm gonna receive, I'm going for it.
Yeah,
but it's definitely not like that.
And we know the reward or the result when it comes to patterns or behaviors that we've already done in the past, and that's the comfort zone, where we can anticipate and know what will be given to us when engaging in some sort of environment that isn't true to us. So we can always resort to that because we know it's a controlled environment, mm-hmm. versus stepping into the unknown leaves us open to infinite possibility.
Yeah, and the thing that helps me when I'm making choices of shifting is I know as humans we're creatures of habit, but we can form new habits. Yeah. So the same way that this habit that I'm attached to was formed and I feel so comforted in it, I can do that with something else. And these are the baby steps I take in order to make the shifts I desire.
Yeah, and all progress is progress no matter the pace. Mm-hmm. It's important to acknowledge that and to celebrate the progress as we continue embarking on this journey of living consciously.
Yeah, that's really good. And also the attachment, because I think I just said something about attachments. It's not creating a new habit to become attached to, mm-hmm. because once you become attached to that, then you're going to repeat that cycle of having to face whatever it is inside of you and learn to let it go. But just finding comfort in the unknown, comfort in the discomfort, like people always say, and that eases up the things that we are trying to change.
Look at embarking into the unknown mm-hmm. as an adventure. You know, it could all be empowering and exciting versus daunting and scary.
Yeah. That's why is it scary?
Yeah.
Why do we say the unknown is scary?
Yeah. It's where all magic lies. It's where infinite possibilities outside of what we can even fathom exist. Like, how monumental and magical can that be?
Yeah. That's the brainwashing right there.
Yeah.
Because I think even in this conversation, we said how it could be scary. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it can be, because that's what we've been taught to believe. But it's actually not. It could be so exciting. Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely scary if you're associating to childhood traumas or like ancestral traumas, like things like that that haven't been addressed. And then when we're thinking about doing something different outside of our norm, like, can we be ostracized, not accepted, et cetera, et cetera. And that comes from the lens of giving our power away to others or environments instead of returning back to our center and our truth and knowing that that is what's most important above all.
Yeah.
And then that's when we can embark on the adventure.
Exactly. I'm glad you shared that and that he came back around, because earlier when you were talking about choosing not to engage with the people at work because it's not your community, the thought had came to mind that you're able to have that awareness and be okay with it not being your community because of the inner work that you've done mm-hmm. to get you to this point. Because if we just try to embark on these changes and shift our outer world without actually working and shifting our inner world, we're going to continue looping and repeating things. It's not until we are fully clear within that we'll be able to make clear choices outside of ourselves.
That's so good. Amen to that. Really, the most important work we can ever do is the internal work.
Yeah, and then it ripples outwards and is reflected to us.
Yeah, instead of getting consumed in the external work and the jobs and all the other things, like we said earlier on, it's how can we embark on the inner work amidst living in this life? And that goes back to how can we live a slow life amidst a busy world?
I totally forgot that that's how this conversation started.
Yeah, but it always comes right back around.
Yeah, and we can live a slow life in the busy world, even if we might feel pressured to keep up and things like that. Like you said, you shared. I think it's a beautiful example of how you can anchor in the slow life regardless of the setting that you're in.
Yeah, you don't have to succumb and fall to the pressures that people are trying to impose on you. Let them do them. You do you, and you just trust in your truth, mm-hmm. greater than whatever fears that can surface regarding what it's like to keep up with them when that's not our truth. That's only going to prolong what we desire for us to manifest in our life.
Yeah, and the clearer you are within yourself, the clearer you see the distractions that come up.
Yes.
And it makes those distractions have to work so much harder to reach you.
That's so good. Talk to me nice, you know? It just makes me feel so good about myself. No, it really makes me so happy for humanity at large, because if we're able to touch on this even ever so slightly as we are now, it speaks to what's possible in the future, what awaits us on this adventure of life, mm-hmm. as we continue to unfold and unlayer all of the distractions at play and really live heaven on earth as we were innately designed to.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Thank you for being here with us.
Yes. And if you would like to go deeper on the topics we discussed in this episode, be sure to check out our show notes, where you can find journal prompts and affirmations to help you along your journey.
Thank you so much. If you're watching us on YouTube, leave a comment to continue the conscious conversation and hit that like and subscribe button, because we're here every Wednesday for you and for us, for the community.
If you're on Instagram or TikTok, you can follow us at Flow Space the Podcast. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at Flow Space the Pod. Please be sure to subscribe, like Deandra said. Give us a follow. It helps us continue sharing the messages. And also share this video or this audio with anybody you feel will benefit.
Leave us a rating if you're listening on any audio platform like Apple or Spotify. And we'll see you soon.
Yes, and that was a lot for you to do. If you do anything, we're grateful for it. If you do nothing at all, we're grateful for you listening in.
Yeah, thank you for your presence. Yes. We love you.
Love you. Peace.
Thank you for listening. Continue flowing in your own space by simply being.
If this resonated with you and you feel called, please be sure to follow us, like, and share. Until next time, wherever you go,
give yourself space to flow.
Peace out, family. If you would like to support us, you can check out our affiliates mentioned in our show notes or on our website at flowspacewellness.com, and go to our affiliates page. We have affiliates with Greenfield Water Solution, which brings life back into your water, with Lil's Basement, which are handcrafted polymer clay jewelry, incense holders, and cute creations for your body and home, Baja Gold Salt Company, which we love to cook with their sea salt, Oko Living, which are 100% organic cotton, herbal dyed, ethically sourced and made, beautiful yoga mats, Life-Changing Energy, which supplies sound healing instruments such as crystal singing bowls, singing pyramids, and tuning forks. You can also support us by leaving us a love donation, any comments on our social media pages or our YouTube, and also sharing our podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, and anybody you feel would benefit from our message. Thank you so much for joining, tuning in, and listening to us and sharing this space. And we look forward to connecting with you in the future.